The book of Genesis. I have been so excited in thinking about this series and this journey into the first book of the Bible. As always, the person that's working on it gets far more out of it than anybody else. But I want to encourage you to take your Bible and over the next few months, who knows, maybe the next few years, you never know, to go into the book of Genesis and find the truth of God. There is so many powerful truths in the book of Genesis. And this morning I want to kind of do an introduction to the book of Genesis and tell you where we're going to go next week and ask you to give prayer and thought to, if you're able to be here next week, as we start into chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis to me is an amazingly interesting book. It is an exciting book to study. It is a deep book to study. It is a book that has a lot of thought-provoking ideas and concepts and truths and facts and things that are impossible for us to really completely understand. It's full of mysteries. In some ways, the book of Genesis is a great bookend compared to the book of Revelation. Some ways, Genesis and Revelation, they're just perfect bookends to God's Word and God's revelation because they both have great mysteries in them that we will not understand till the end of time and to the time that God brings together all of human history and all the things that we'll understand when we get to that place that we call heaven and the final timeline that God has planned that we just have little bits and pieces about in the future. We did study recently the book of Revelation. A men's group went through that, and I preached through quite a few chapters in the book of Revelation, mostly the early chapters, and there's a great deal of mysteries about what God's going to do in the end. Well, in the same way, on the other side of God's revelation, there's a great deal of mystery about the beginning. God does give us a great deal of facts and information and gives us a picture of the beginning of time and the beginning even before time. And we have a lot to speculate and think about and fill in of God's amazing plan. But from the very beginning to the very end of God's revelation, He gives us what we need. In fact, the Bible says in many places, the purpose of the Scripture is that we'll understand who God is. Especially in John chapter 20, we read, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing have life in His name." The purpose of every verse of Scripture is to point us to Jesus and help us to understand the plan of God of salvation for us. I believe that about the book of Revelation. I believe that about the book of Matthew and the book of Daniel. And I believe that about the book of Genesis. It is given to draw us to the heart of God and to the plan of God of salvation for our lives. Anytime our study of the Bible takes us in a different direction than that, it's not healthy for a Christian. Every word of Scripture should draw us to the heart of God and the plan of God for His salvation. There's so many things that we can say about the book of Genesis, and I will try not to say them all. But I want to say about the book of Genesis is that it is a deep, deep book. Not only in the first chapter and the narrative of the creation itself, which is an amazing, obviously, we could spend a long time there, and we're going to spend some time there. But every part of Genesis, when you get to the narrative stories of the patriarchs and other people, they are full of God's truth. They are full of little things that the Holy Spirit can apply to everyday life. In some ways, I think of Genesis as a great book of mystery, but I also think of it as a very practical book. And once you get into the stories of Adam and Eve and Seth and Cain and Abel and Seth and the generations and all those stories that we find in the early chapters of Genesis, you'll find that every one of those stories has something to say to us, and God's Spirit can apply that. When I study Genesis this winter, I may see things in it and sense things from the Holy Spirit that I've never seen before. Truth about human nature, truth about life. Genesis truly is a minefield. And when you sweep over at one time, you might find all kinds of beautiful things in it. But if you go back again another time, you'll find more. And every time you study God's Word, if your heart is open and you are searching for God's truth, I believe that God will show you something else. And I believe that about these chapters in the book of Genesis. I believe that if you determine in your heart to read the book of Genesis once a week for the next 12 weeks, every time you go through those chapters of Genesis, God's going to show you something else. Even if you chose the first 11 chapters and said, "I just want to read over and over again what Genesis says and see what God says to my heart." I promise you, if you do that with an open heart and you take time to do that, I don't mean you speed read it, you know, like we tend to do sometimes. But if you read God's Word with an open heart and an open spirit, I know that God will show you truth. That's the way God's Word is, and that's the way the book of Genesis is. Sometimes we oversimplify Genesis. Sometimes we make it too complicated. That's how I feel about the book of Revelation. Sometimes we want to simplify everything and just make it somehow that we don't have to think about it or kind of go into the ideas and concepts that God gives us. And then other times we want to complicate everything and we want to try to get everything figured out when God may not give us everything to know exactly everything that we want to know because of our curiosity. It's probably a good thing God doesn't give us more than He has already. We have trouble dealing with what He already gives us. But the book of Genesis can be that way. We can oversimplify it, or we can make it so difficult and complex and add to it and change it so that we seem to construct our whole theology about things based on something that really may not be there. The truth is God's Word is given to us as His simple truth, and He asks us to take it. Genesis also, and I'll be speaking about this over the next few weeks, Genesis is also a very important book to your faith. As a growing Christian, I don't mean that you have to understand the book of Genesis to become a Christian, because you don't, but the Genesis will help your relationship with God to be stronger. Understanding Genesis, understanding the whole of the Bible and how each book and each part kind of falls into the story of God will help your understanding of God to be stronger. Also, the book of Genesis will help you to understand the hand of God. Some people call it the sovereignty of God, that God is in control. God has been in control from the beginning, and He will be to the end. Studying the book of Genesis helps you to see that, kind of helps you to look back to the beginning in time and God's hand through history. What you believe in Genesis, what you see in Genesis, and what you believe about it can be, and for many people is, a very important pillar of their faith. Understanding who God is and what God revealed and what God did, what God said. Genesis gives us concepts that are beyond our minds to sort out, and we wrestle with them. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people would like their faith to be so kind of plain and so, well, that's not the right word, so non-complicated that they don't have to wrestle with God and wrestle with important questions of life. But anybody that's lived and gone through life and dealt with life's problems and issues know that sometimes we have to wrestle with truth to understand the heart of God and understand what He wants for us. Genesis helps us to do that as we wrestle with some of these great ideas from the early verses of Genesis. Genesis also contains not only the narrative of creation, but it also contains real stories with real people, with real problems and real hang-ups and real issues. And we can learn from them when we study the lives of the patriarchs and who they were. Issues such as the human heart and sin and its consequences and what that does to the human conscience, and how God has provided a way for that conscience to be cleared. There are so many things that we can say about the purpose of the book of Genesis, but I just want to read two verses from Genesis that we find in Genesis a key to what Genesis is. Chapter 2, verse 4 says this: "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created." So chapter 2, chapter 4 gives us one purpose of the book of Genesis, why it was written. Whoever penned this verse and however it was written down gives us a summary of what came before. Chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 2. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. As we know, this is the first purpose that's expressed in Genesis. That is what the first chapter and these first few verses of chapter 2 are. When you look at the narrative of the creation account, it's 34 verses long, depending on maybe what you might include from chapter 2. But basically, there's 34 verses in the Bible specifically about the creation narrative. 34 verses. That's out of a large Bible. About 500 words describe, God gives us in 500 words, all of eternity past and up until the time of Adam and Eve was created. Half of it kind of describes eternity past, the first verse, and then the next 33 verses describe how God is working in His creation. That's quite a bit in 500 words or so. An enormous kind of a large a time frame that God covers. So he does give us something about the creation, but what he gives us is the importance of understanding who's in control and that God created the heavens and the earth. And then from that point in chapter 2, verse 4, then the rest of Genesis continues with the history of man. First you have the beginning, and you have the creation story, and then you have from the rest of the book of Genesis, it's almost two halves, except one is a lot larger than the other. You have the story of man, beginning with Adam and Eve, and the human race, and the human story. Chapter 5, verse 1 gives us the second purpose of Genesis. It says, this is the written account of Adam's line. So very specifically, the writer, the author, puts in there, this is the written account of Adam's line. There is the attempt to convey to us that this is the story of God. First, the story of the creation, then the story of man. Continues through the centuries and through the generations, the table of generations in the book of Genesis, the infection of sin and the great story of the Tower of Babel and the spread of population and the spread of languages. Genesis includes so much about human nature and the human race. The account of Adam's line is an important purpose in Genesis. Then I want to say that a third purpose in the book of Genesis is the account of God reaching into that human history. That the story of the Bible is not just God, it's not just man, but it's how God interacts with man. And that's where Genesis takes its form and its purpose. God reaches into the book of Genesis and begins to put himself into the story of man. And so we can see how God and man intersect and they intertwine for all of eternity. God was pleased to reach into human history in the story of Adam and Eve and continue to reach into history. I kind of think of the first 34 verses of Genesis as the first part of the arrow, somehow before time began. And the last part of the arrow is what happens in the book of Revelation when God brings all of time to an end and eternity future. You have eternity past and you have eternity future, and in the middle should be the word time, man's time. The Bible encompasses the time of man and what God does in the history of man. Showing us his nature. The Bible, beginning with Genesis, shows us the full nature of God, his divine love and his divine justice, his judgment and his mercy, his punishment and his grace, his provision of forgiveness that he offers to each one of us. And every part of that story is pointing toward that arrow to the future of eternity. Of that God has included us. Man was made in the image of God and will live forever. We don't have an arrow in the past, but we do have an arrow in the future. And all the Bible is pointing toward that future together of God and his people. Standing in between eternity past and eternity future is the history that we live in. God's interlude that features man made in his own image. The book of Genesis begins to give us that story and that picture. The book of Genesis helps us to understand that story. So we're going to look at that great book, beginning with that arrow looking back. Next week, we're going to begin with the arrow looking back into the beginning and what the beginning means. What does the beginning mean? Next week, I want us to think about and just focus on chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God. What does the beginning mean? What was there in the beginning? What was before the beginning? How do we, as finite time structure people, how do we understand the beginning? What does that tell us about God? What does eternity mean? How do we understand it? And then look at this great narrative of the creation. Well, let's begin. Let's look a little bit this morning at the book of Genesis as a whole. Genesis is the third largest book in the Bible. If you think of, well, how does Genesis fit in the Bible? Obviously, you know, it was the first book, and it's a very amazing and interesting book, but some people don't realize that it's a very large book in the Bible. It's the third largest book in the Bible. It has 50 chapters. Of course, the chapters were added much later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, a division of chapters. Originally, the Bible wasn't written into chapters and verses, but they were added later. But Genesis is a long book. Many people believe that Genesis was compiled in the lifetime of Moses. Some people believe that Moses was the author. In fact, there's some internal evidences of the book of Genesis that point to Moses or someone in his group or someone very close to Moses who wrote down the book of Genesis. Some people believe that Moses was the author of the book of Genesis as well as the first five books of the Bible. Moses must have heard, if this was how it was conveyed, that the stories had been passed down from generation to generation from Adam and Eve on. Remember that Adam and Eve lived a long time, and when you put the timeline together of Adam and Eve's life and their children's life and children's children, Adam lived up almost right to the time of Noah. We kind of think of it as being separate time periods, but they lived a long time back then, and when you put the number of years up together, you find that the early chapters of the book of Genesis are pretty well compressed together into the lives of these people that overlapped each other by a great deal. Genesis is linked together by these long lives and many generations, and so Adam could have told the story of the creation to Noah, for example. And then Noah, when he came out of the ark, told it to his sons and their family. And it could have easily been passed down. And then when God called Abram and he began to work in this specific group of people to be called his people, those stories were passed along. And then he called a man named Moses to be the leader of his people and bring them out of slavery. And one of the important things of the identity of the people of Israel was to have the law of God, to have the story of God, to have the history of God. And so during Moses' day, it was important to have all these stories put together. And so they were included, they were written down and put together in a book and become the first book of the Bible. Genesis is always linked together with the next four books of the Bible. They're called the Pentateuch, or the five books, or the five tools. So when we talk about the first five books of the Bible, they're classified together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They're very different, Genesis is, from the next four books, but they're considered as part of the same larger book called the Pentateuch. The Jews today call these five books the Torah, the Law of Moses, the Book of Moses. Some call it the Book of God. It was the heart of God from the beginning for His people. And so Genesis was always seen as part of something larger, not just the first book of the Bible, but it was held by, in the Old Testament, the Jews as part of the full expression of the history of God. And so it was very sacred. Genesis was very sacred to the Jews, along with Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. It's not like you could rip one out and say, well, this is God's revelation without the others. Genesis is attached to the rest of the story of God. And it was seen that way by Jewish people. The book of Moses, whether Moses physically wrote them down or they came from a variety of people who recorded the stories and put them together, they describe the history of God's revelation to man and up until the end of Moses' life. So Genesis truly is a history book. It is a history book unlike anything else. Most of Genesis is a history book like we think of history. It tells the story of Adam and Eve and what happened to them and the consequences of their behavior, what happened after that. Again, it doesn't give us a lot of details, but it gives us what God wants us to have to understand the story of God. The book of Genesis is an important history book, and in looking into the history that God gives us, it tells us a lot about the heart of God. Genesis is a part of that history. The account of the creation and the next four chapters are an account of man and God leading up to that proliferation of languages and nations around the earth. Well, for the first few weeks of this series, we're going to focus on the first chapter of Genesis, on the creation story itself. And as I said a little bit ago, beginning next Sunday, I want to begin focus the first four words of the Bible. In the beginning, God. And Katrina kind of had that theme in her kids' corner. In the beginning, God. Every part of the first four words of the Bible are important to us. In the beginning, God. And next week, we're going to begin with that. What was God doing in the beginning? What was God doing before He created the heavens and the earth? Is there a before God created the heavens and the earth? What does it mean in the beginning. How do we understand eternity past? How can we possibly have any concept that we can understand that God has always existed? That's an amazing thing to wrestle with. And I've been doing that. I've been asking some of you, what do you think about this? What comes to your heart and your mind? And I want to ask you to just wrestle with that a little bit next Sunday. What does it mean that God has always existed? What does that mean to your faith? What does that mean to your understanding of truth? What does that mean to the authority of God in your heart and your life? How does it help your faith to be stronger? How does it help us to see God's power and God's sovereignty when we wrestle with the truth that God always was? He was before He made the heavens and the earth. He was before He created light and before He separated the land from the water and the sun and the moon and the stars. Somehow this amazing, infinite, eternal being who is all love and all justice somehow has existed from before the beginning. What is the beginning? And even more importantly, how does our study in the book of Genesis help us to have a deeper faith? How does it help us to put our trust more in God? I always feel like in studying the Bible, the practical truth is what's important. How does it help you to be stronger as a Christian? How can studying the book of Genesis help your faith to be deeper? I pray that God will show you that answer as we look into this great story of the creation. My goal is that Genesis will help us to have a deeper faith. My goal in this series, if you're with us for this series, is that in studying the book of Genesis, you're going to have a deeper faith in the existence of God and the power of God. That God will speak to you, His Holy Spirit will speak to you about how real He is. How real He is in the 21st century. So you look back to how real God is in the beginning. How real God was on day one. How real God was on day six. How real God was in the Garden of Eden. How real God was on the day the flood came to Noah. So we look through Genesis that God will help you to sense how real He is. And if you read Genesis with an open spirit, God will confirm His existence to you. We know that in our culture today, the existence of God is under attack. In many spheres of the education system and the political world, the existence of God is under attack. If you study the book of Genesis and you study it with an open heart and an open spirit, I believe that God can show you who He is. He can show you the reality of His existence. He can add deeply to the value of the authority of God in your life. I hope that in this series that you will be drawn to the authority of God because He's an amazing, indescribable, as the song said earlier, He is indescribable, but yet we try to describe Him. In the beginning, God, would you join me as we look back to the beginning and say, God, speak to my heart about who you are. You do have something to say about my life today. You have something to say about how I live, how I see you, how I see other people, how I understand salvation. The book of Genesis is a great book to do that. Genesis can help to build your respect for the authority of God. What you believe about Genesis is so important for the authority of God in your life. What you believe about God revealing Himself, if you believe that God will reveal Himself to you, if you believe that God can reveal Himself to you, when you look to see how God has revealed Himself to you, it can be a cornerstone of your faith. You must choose the path of faith. If you approach the creation story with a heart that says, God, help this to help my faith to be stronger, then God can do it. The creation story is key to a faith in God and seeing His amazing revelation. Hebrews chapter 11, I read this verse often. I think it's so important to every believer and every Christian. I believe it's important to every human being. Is without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him, now look at what Hebrews says, what your faith must be, must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, there's two parts about faith. Both of them are a matter of choice. Both of them are choosing to believe in the existence of God. If you choose to believe in the existence of God, God can change your heart. God can speak to your mind. But that's a choice you make. It's not something that somebody gives you and forces on you. You either choose to believe or you don't. The Bible tells us that, and there's so many stories that remind us of that. You have a choice to believe in the existence of God. The book of Genesis can help you to do that. The book of Genesis, as you read how God has revealed himself, can help to answer some of the questions in your heart and your mind. But I want to tell you something. If you're looking for the book of Genesis to take the step of faith for you, it will never happen. Don't think that understanding the book of Genesis will create faith in your heart and your spirit. It won't happen. The book of Genesis is a tool. In fact, the Pentateuch is called by some the five tools. The five tools of believing in God. The five tools of seeing the heart of God. The book of Genesis is given to us as a tool to help us to see who God is. But you still have got to take the step of faith. You've got to choose to believe, and that's what Hebrews says. Anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Belief in the existence of God is a personal choice based on what God has revealed in his word. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The second part is just as important as the first, is we have to believe that God speaks to us. We have to believe that God reaches out to us. If you believe that there's a God, but he doesn't have any contact with us, and he's done with us, and he's finished when he created the world, you can never know what it means to know the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and have eternal life. You must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Faith is a choice. I want to say from the beginning of this study in the early verses of the book of Genesis that faith is a choice, and God calls you and I to that faith. He calls us to put our trust in the authority of God. And if we take Genesis and we understand it and we seek it and we give God the trust that he deserves, then God's going to show us all kinds of things about our lives. Begins with the authority of God. The creation story affirms the authority of God. And that's where I hope we will continue to go in this series, the authority of God, trusting God. Would you stand with me as I read the first chapter of the book of Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing which the waters teem according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to the beast of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. I hope you'll join me in this journey into the heart of God and the authority of God. Read the book of Genesis. Study it and see what God will show you. Thanks for being here today. God bless.